This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to join us every Sunday on this station.
Can you point to experiences in your life where you saw God at work? We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, as your word is being proclaimed around the world today, we pray that eyes may be opened and ears might be able to hear what you are trying to say to us. God, we pray that this message may enter into our hearts to convict us of our sins and to point us to a Savior who has come into this world to die that we might be yours forevermore. When we have those kinds of experiences, we know that they cannot go unnoticed, and we will have a story to tell to the nation. So bless us, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you point to experiences where you saw God at work in your life? We're going to talk about that in the sermon today. You know, friend, it's an interesting thing to see how God is all around us, and yet there are many people who can say, I never have felt him. I have had no experiences with him. He certainly is not that personal to me. Well, that is not the way that God wants it to be. And let me shed further light on that by turning to our text today, which is known as the text dealing with the Mount of Transfiguration. Here are the words that come from the 17th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up to a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, This is my son whom I love, and with him I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, and they were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. Get up, he said. Don't be afraid. When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. Jesus was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. His clothes were dazzling white. And with him was the chief lawgiver Moses and the chief prophet Elijah. They were talking with Jesus. With all of that before them, Peter got excited. And he said to Jesus, It's good to be here. Would you like to have us build 3 shelters, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for you? And then there was a voice that came from a cloud. And this is what the voice said. It was a voice of God. This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. And then the Bible tells us that the disciples were terrified and they fell on their faces. Jesus came and touched him and said, Don't be afraid, but don't tell anyone until after I have been raised from the dead. That's the story. Perhaps you learned it first in Sunday school, and so it has been preached year in and year out as a preparation for our entering in to the Lenten season. Now we could ask the question, why was that account put into the scriptures? What is its purpose for Jesus and for the disciples? And if we can find that out, then maybe we could ask the question, what is its purpose for us today who walk on this earth, especially those of us who know Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord? Well, for Jesus, you can certainly say it was an affirmation. It was an affirmation that he was doing his Father's will. And tough days were ahead. There was a cross that had to be endured. He was to suffer and to die for the sins of the world. Jesus knew this was his mission. But he too was not only God, he was also man. And Satan was playing his part in Jesus' life too. So maybe there were times when Jesus, a little bit down in the dumps or wondering a little bit, needed some affirmation. And here it was. For as they were there on top of the mountain with Moses and Elijah, there was that voice that came out of a cloud that Peter and James and John heard, and it says, This is my son. With him I am well pleased. there is a relationship between the experience with Jesus on the Mount of Figuration and Mount Calvary. For he went on to say that voice, "Listen to him." Now that was a tremendous experience for Jesus, for he was right back on track saying, "What I'm doing is what God wanted me to do. What I'm doing is for the salvation of souls. What I am doing will bring me a tremendous amount of suffering, but what I am doing will pay the price for the sins of the world." So the disciples also were having a great experience. What was it in it for them? Well, they certainly saw again affirmed in a most extraordinary way that this Jesus with whom they were walking day in and day out was rightly so the Son of God and the Savior of the world. And then God is preparing them when he says to them, "Listen to him. He is my son. I love him. He's doing what I told him to do. Listen to him." Those were words that went into their ears and down into their hearts, but were words that once in a while they would forget, and then they would remember later on, "Oh, if we had only listened." In other words, they were having an extraordinary experience with Jesus, but they were really not so much aware of it as something that was lasting, that was going to affect their lives in the difficult days as well as the good times. So let's take a look and ask ourselves now that very personal question. How about us? Do we have any extraordinary experiences with Jesus? Can you point to any in your life where you feel that he definitely was speaking to you? Perhaps if you have, if you're like I am, these are experiences that you find later on in life. You come back and say, "Well, he was speaking to me." And yet, because we believe that when he speaks to the Word of God, we didn't want to be accused of hearing things. But then later on, when it is all fulfilled, there we see that God was leading us all of the time. Now, one of my extraordinary experiences with the Lord was not on a mountain. It was on 27th and Main Street in Cedar Falls, Iowa. I often stopped there because there was a stop-and-go light. And so I would look out around me, and at that particular time, way back in the 50s, I saw right in front of me a great cornfield. And I thought, well, Cedar Falls is growing out in this direction, and someday this will be littered with new homes, maybe a school. And then the thought came to me, the thought. Now, I can't say at that time God was speaking to me at that stop sign, but I really believe he was. Wouldn't it be great to have a church there? This one day will be in the center of town, as it is today. Wouldn't it be a great place for people to come and to worship God? Well, I put it aside. And then sometime later, we found out in our community, and especially in our church, that there was a tremendous need to care for the elderly. And we were not doing a very good thing, very much about it. So one day I said to a very important individual in our church, a man who had shown great leadership, "You know, I really think we ought to think seriously about a home for the aged." And we talked about it. And finally, it led on to a committee. And then it was a visit to the lady who owned this land. And I was appointed to go and talk with her. And that I did. As we sat there and I asked her if we might possibly buy a few acres of land right there on the corner. And at first she was not very receptive to it, but later on she ended giving us 15 acres of that very, very costly Iowa land that could really produce bushels and bushels of corn. We built the home, and when we had it all done, we could move 66 people in there. That home has grown today until I'm sure that it takes care of at least 250 people, if not more. And we have now seen how we have done the will of God. When I look at that home, it is a revelation. Peter, James, and John saw Jesus saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Now I can see we were listening to him, for he told us to remember the elderly. He told us to care for our fathers and our mothers. And by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, under his direction, he had done that very thing through us. Well, then the days went by, and our church was way downtown, and it was not in a place where we could add on very much, and we were out of space. So I was chosen to go to see the old lady again, and I asked her if we could have another piece of her land. And once again, she gave us 15 more acres. And on that parcel of land, we built a church. So that today, some 50 years later, when I sit there at that stop and go sign and look at what once was a cornfield, I now see 30 acres of building together with some parking lots, and there we see the hand of God that is really at work. It isn't the buildings. They are just the tools, but it is what is happening inside of them. For their people are hearing the gospel, and the gospel is a means whereby the Holy Spirit works to bring individuals to faith in Jesus Christ. And these individuals then continue to return to that church and study the Word of God in classes, and they grow and they mature in their faith, and Jesus Christ captures their lives. Now I begin to understand what the Holy Spirit was saying there on the mount to Peter, James, and John. He has said repeatedly to those of us who live today, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Yes, he had told us to care for the elderly, to care for the sick, and he had also told us to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, in our day, if we had to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is necessary for us to have some building. And so we built those buildings. Again, I say, it is not the human voice, it is not the human being building brick and mortar, but it is God telling us, put something up where you can join together and really tell the story of Jesus Christ to those who will come. That whole thing then suddenly becomes a real extraordinary experience for me. For there I could see what God can do. It is not the work of human hands. I want to be repetitious again. It is God working through human hands. God can use us, but he alone has made it possible for all of this to take place. To remind me of what God can do, to drive by is absolutely necessary. So once in a while, when I'm kind of down in the dumps, and, you know, we all get that way, and Satan plays tricks on us, I drive around. I drive around those 30 acres once in a while on a nice summer day. I might even walk around them with a prayer on my lips of thanksgiving. God, now I can see. Now I understand what you were really up to when I was just young and stood there looking at a cornfield. I was reminded of it the other day when I got a letter from a young man that I hadn't seen for a while. And in the letter, he says to me, I was driving my father's car, and I was going from Iowa into Minneapolis. I needed something to listen to, so I looked into the compartment, and there was a tape. I put it on, and it was for the Sunday in 1900, and I guess I don't have the date here, but 32 years ago, it was a Palm Sunday, and I was driving from Mason City to Albert Lea. Not only was it a good message with the gospel, but it also brought back many warm and familiar memories. It also got me thinking about how much God has blessed me in my 34 years. I am grateful for the obvious reasons, how He gave us His only Son to die so that we can have eternal life, how He has blessed us, blessed our nation, blessed our community, blessed my family, blessed my friends. Although I no longer call Cedar Falls home, I am lucky enough to have my family still there. I grew up in a family that showed me love and a community that showed me love for one another. More importantly, I grew up surrounded by people that knew the answer to the eternal question, what shall I do with Jesus? This is an interesting note. It came just when I needed it. Just when I began to wonder if the whole thing was really worth it. You shouldn't have a thought like that. But once in a while, something like that does come into my heart. And then I see here's this young 33-year-old man, 34 years old. He was just a baby in 1975 when that message was preached. Hearing it again as an adult. And now he knew that Jesus was his Savior. That all came about through that extraordinary experience where God was leading us. And now in retrospect, we could see it was all his work. Back to our text. It was Easter evening, and the disciples were sitting there. And they had two experiences on mountains, or three of them had two experiences. Peter, James, and John had been on the Mount of Transfiguration, and they had seen Jesus glorified. They had also been to Calvary, and they had seen him crucified. And then one of them said, you know, he told us we couldn't tell you this until after he had been raised, but now he has been raised. And let us tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ came to us and revealed all that was going to happen. The purpose was that we could rely on that revelation, but we failed to do it. And at that moment when he needed us the most, we ran away. But now back to this, we're on our way out into the world, but we go with this, knowing that before us he has given us this great, great vision. Preach the word, and I will draw all people to me. And that is what we have in an extraordinary experience from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Oh,
Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, we thank you for this marvelous story in the scriptures. We thank you that you were lifted up and God announced that you again was his son. You are well pleased with him and that we should listen. In so many ways, you have brought that same message to us in our ordinary experience of sitting with you in your word and listening, whether it be in church or at home, and then in other extraordinary experiences where, in retrospect, we see better than while it is going on your hand in the mission. So, Lord, we thank you that you are so personal that you're directing us all the way. Grant that in the Lenten season that is before us, we may see you as a crucified but risen Savior who is our Lord. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. May today's gospel message bring you peace, joy, and strength for the days to come. We are thankful for your prayerful and financial support because it helps us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Your gifts enable us to buy time on 19 radio stations in 9 states across the country and worldwide on the internet. Send your gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Christian Crusaders publishes a quarterly newsletter called The Crusader. The publication contains a special article written by Reverend Larson, as well as other interesting information concerning Christian Crusaders. The theme of the upcoming issue is love. To receive this special mailing, simply call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's service are also available. Please address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Or you may visit us anytime on the internet at christiancrusaders.org. Conducting our service today was our radio pastor, Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders is now in its 72nd year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.